Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passion, worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold. Thank you for visiting Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're so glad you've joined us here at the Dark Hollows Press Parlor. Donna Wright has Leslie Sherrod, Marcia Gamble, and Christy Dean in the sitting room this evening. We'll be hearing about any updates on the Romancing the Smokies event coming March 19th. Mallory Kane will have news and info in the romance and publishing industry at the bottom of the hour. And this is Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera, and now your silver-tongued Palavar Pasha, Donna Wright.
And good evening, and I am so excited to be here with you this evening. It's the day after Valentine's Day. Romance authors, a good day to buy that romancy, hearty-looking swag. So get out there and get your half price and 75% off chocolates and things to do with Valentine's Day that will go into your swag bags. And yes, you do it. I do it too. We all do it. I am so excited to be here today because I have made some decisions about my career. And I will be sharing them with you at a later time, not tonight, but things are going really, really well. I want to give a huge, huge thank you to my good friend Hallie Bridgman. She came to the Knoxville, Tennessee area over the weekend, and we had the most wonderful time. She gave a workshop on self-publishing that absolutely made my head literally explode. It just exploded. I'm telling you, it was awful, and it was wonderful, and made me do some thinking, and that's the kind of workshop I want. I want the kind of workshop that's sort of like a preacher's sermon. It makes me think, and she has me thinking about all kinds of things. So while I'm thinking, I want to tell you about our first guest. Our first guest is Leslie J. Sherrod. We are very excited to have her with us. She's a social worker in Baltimore. And that's Baltimore, Maryland, by the way. It's like that guy that says, Atlanta's in Georgia, you know. Well, Baltimore's in Maryland, you know. And she is, in 2012, she actually won a Reader's Choice Award for Christian Author of the Year. She's married with three children and enjoys traveling and family movie nights. And who doesn't love a good family movie? I know I certainly do. So what I'm going to do without further delay is bring to you Leslie J. Sherrod. Leslie, I know I'm mispronouncing your name, sweetheart, but welcome to Hummingbird Place.
Oh, thank you so much, and you actually are saying my name just right. Thank you.
Oh, okay, Sherrod. Okay. The way it's spelled, I thought maybe it was Sherrod, and I said, no, I think it's Sherrod. So, hey,
nope, it's Sherrod.
And you've got this new book out, The Man of My Schemes. I love that title. That is so cute.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. It actually will be out next week on the 25th.
All right.
So and
February 25th, we'll be looking for that. So go ahead, tell us a little bit about it and why we should go out and buy it.
Sure, great. I'm so excited to be able to tell your listeners about this is actually my seventh novel, but it's a very different one for me. A lot of my novels in the past have had a little bit more mystery and suspense, and I just wanted to write something that was fun and lighthearted. It's about a 34-year-old woman who all of a sudden realizes that everyone is so worried about her love life that she feels like she needs to do something about it. So she comes up with this very elaborate scheme. It started out very innocently, but she finds herself in the middle of a scheme to pretend that she has the perfect man in her life. It's completely made up, and in this day and age of technology, she uses a lot of online resources to just create this perfect man that everyone would be envious about. Needless to say, it completely backfires on her, and the story just shows how bad things can get when a lie you've been wanting to live just starts to fall apart. So it's meant to be a quick but fun read, and I really had a lot of fun writing it.
Well, if everything doesn't fall apart, it's not fun.
Exactly.
Isn't that true? Now, I notice you're with Brown Girls Publishing, and I've interviewed many, many gals from there. Love all of you. You're always so well-spoken, and come on, and just such fun guests. So tell me what you like to do in your spare time.
Well, you know what? Lately, I've been having a difficult time finding spare time between working and, you know, I have three kids and my husband and writing. Honestly, when I get spare time, and everyone at my house would testify to this, I probably just sleep.
Oh, bless your heart. I know that.
But I do like to travel when I can. So, but you know, whether it's family trips or even just hanging out somewhere in Baltimore, I do like to get out the house.
Well, tell me some places that you've been.
Well, my husband and I have this thing where we always try to do a family trip every year, and then a trip with just the two of us. Family trip might be Myrtle Beach, Wildwood, New Jersey. My husband and I will go anywhere from, we've been to New Orleans, to the Bahamas, to last fall I surprised him with the trip to Boston. He wanted to see the stadium up there, and he thought mm-hmm. we were just going out on a date night. But I actually had a whole trip planned, got to the airport, and he had no idea what was happening. It was great.
Oh, that's so neat. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a different traveler than most people. Now, I'm hoping to go to the Bahamas next year, but the truth is that growing up, my son went to some very odd places. Like, okay. We took him and his best friend one time to the cave area of Kentucky, and they have a little place there called Kentucky Down Under, and they have
okay.
all kinds of Australian animals there.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And you know how big a kangaroo is? That thing
you know,
was
I don't know that I've ever thought about that.
Now, let's take a moment, everyone. Listeners and Leslie, we're going to think about how big a kangaroo is. Kangaroo stands about 6 feet.
Wow.
I said, bless its little heart. It's huge. What I thought was really cute was the little wallabies.
Okay.
They just look like mini kangaroos to me. But yeah, I mean, they were just so cute and everything. But they said that the meanest animal they had was this big black goose.
Scared the fuck out of me.
I mean, they said stay away from the goose, whatever you do. If it approaches you, just walk away quietly, you know. Anyway, that has nothing to do with The Man of My Schemes by Leslie J. Sherrard. So while we're thinking of it, why don't we go ahead and break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Romance
right,
in the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romance in the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappeth will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and we are back with Leslie J. Sherrard. And Leslie, tell me something. And now this will be a secret. Nobody else will know but me and you.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me something about yourself that your readers do not know.
Let me think about that for a moment.
All right.
Something that my readers do not know about me. I'm trying to think of something that would actually be interesting.
I hear you.
I was a stay-at-home mom for about 8 years before I took on so many hats. And one thing, I guess I'm thinking back to when we were just talking about traveling. One thing that I did with my children, I would always try and find very unique activities and trips. So we would go somewhere like a potato chip factory to see how the potato chips were made, or come home and make homemade soap. And those are really, really great years. So that's something a lot of people, particularly those who know me now and how I'm wearing and juggling so many things, they might not know that about me.
I think that's really interesting. I think that is very interesting. So basically, you and I are quite a bit alike when it comes to that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I like to do with my son, is just things he wouldn't normally do. I remember his teachers one time saying, during a teacher conference, saying, Ben's been to a lot of places, or at least he says he has. And I said, oh, no, he's been to all of them. Trust me, she was kind of like, I don't know if he really went to New York or not. You know, oh, no, he went. We certainly took him to the Empire State Building and all those things. So, and he has actually been to the top of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, wow. So, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, Leslie J. Sherrard with us. Leslie, tell us all about your writing career up till The Man of My Schemes. Tell us a little bit about your other six novels.
Sure. I have always loved to write. I remember being in second grade, and you know the assignment where you have to turn your spelling words into sentences.
Yes.
I loved it. Just, you know, learning how to use adjectives and nouns. And I just remember all throughout school and then into college, most of my electives were English and writing related classes. And for some, whatever reason, it never occurred to me that I could actually pursue writing as, you know, part of my career. Even when I started working on my first novel, I had no idea what was going to happen with it. I didn't even know I was writing a novel. But the doors began to open, I would say, back in 2005, 2006. That's when my first novel came out. And it's been quite a journey, just being able to flesh out these characters that come to mind. You asked about some of my other books. Five of my books are part of a series, the Sienna St. James series. She's a social worker. I'm a social worker, too. But she keeps having mysteries on her caseload. And each book, it has a very completely different plot to it. In addition to what's happening on her caseload, she has a lot going on in her personal life. A husband who's been missing for years, a new man around who's, like, trying to wait for her to figure out what she's doing. So there's a lot of twists and turns, everything from a child missing in the foster care system to a terrorist attack and her thinking that the authorities have the wrong person. So there's a lot of adventures with Sienna St. James. And like I said, The Man of My Schemes is very different from me, but I think I just needed to write something that was just lighter and just, you know, just had a lot more just a fun element to it, away from some of the mystery and the thrills, but just, you know, a little bit more comical too, I should say.
Well, I love things like that. That's what I write. So I am, first off, there is one other question I would like to ask you about it. What is your heat level?
It's very mild. Mm-hmm. It's mild but intriguing. And I think because for this character, it's very much a fantasy for her, where she is trying to create this perfect man, you know, who's, you know, physically perfect, who's, you know, just got this great personality. But again, it backfires. I'll give one example. She stated that he's in charge of, he started this charity. Well, then she finds out that people are actually raising money for this charity. So there's just a lot that backfires with this. But it's still an engaging read that I think a lot of women will be able to relate to, just because of the number of topics that are addressed in the story as well.
I think it sounds really cute. And I know that I'm going to want to pick up a copy of that. Now, what is next for Leslie J. Sherrard?
You know, I keep going back and forth between a couple of story ideas. I think about the series of Sienna St. Jones. I have some ideas for that. And then I have some short story ideas and a couple of other novels that I have almost completed and I keep going back and forth about. So I'm trying to decide which way to go with things right now. But I'm excited to have the opportunity to continue writing. And, you know, my hope is just to be able to keep putting out books out there that people want to pick up and read.
That sounds amazing. That sounds great, Leslie. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I'm sorry that our time is almost over.
Well, I appreciate it, and I invite readers to please visit my website. It's Leslie J. Sherrard. That's Sherrod.com. Look for me on Twitter, Facebook, same thing, Leslie J. Sherrard. And the book is available for pre-order right now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for being on, Leslie. I hope you'll come back sometime in the future.
I would love to. Thank you.
My pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Leslie J. Sherrard, and she is an amazing lady. I love the things that she's talking about. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to jump on over and do a little business, and then we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll have Marcia King Gamble with us. So don't go away.
Changelings and Champions. February 16th, Dark Hollows Press and Lola White release Book 2 in her Tithe Collector series, a paranormal urban fantasy romp around familiar yet unknown surroundings. The Special Collections team is called to Las Vegas to investigate the magical disturbances at the Red Raven Casino, the home of the volatile Dark Fae Court. The Dark Court is a hostile environment for the team, dragging them closer to emotional breakdowns and lines drawn in the sand. Dangerous royals, brandy revelers, and relationship dramas have the Special Collections team close to folding until a pair of changelings ups the ante. Out this week, Lola White's The Tithe Collector, Book 2, Changelings and Champions. February 18th, Dark Hollows Press brings us the new release by Voss Porter, The Wrong Kind of Woman. When straight-laced meets bad to the bone, an all-consuming flame of desire ignites. The Wrong Kind of Woman by Voss Porter, February 18th.
All right, and so we have Dark Hollows Press. That's got a lot of great things coming out. Don't forget to drop by darkhollowspress.com. I'm going to bring on the air a very good friend of mine named Marcia King Gamble, and Marcia has been on many, many, many times, haven't you, Marcia?
I have, indeed. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really quite excited to be talking to our audience.
It is my pleasure having you. Marcia, tell us a little bit about His Golden Heart, your latest release.
Well, actually, my latest release is actually just you. His Golden Heart is a reissue that came out a few months earlier. So if
okay.
I can, I'd love to talk about Just You, as Just You came out right before Christmas. It was actually released on Christmas Eve, and I've gotten some really wonderful reviews from brand new readers, which, I mean, this book
That's
has been a labor of love.
Yes, always.
It is.
Well, sweetie, I'll tell you what, you've got the floor. You talk about which book you feel like would be the best book to talk about tonight.
Okay, sounds good. I will go ahead and talk to you about Just You. And the reason this is so near and dear to my heart is this book, believe it or not, has been sold, I believe, 3 times. And for whatever reason, the publisher, either something fell through or whatever, and it just never got published. And so I decided to put it out on my own. So I self-published Just You after sprucing it up a little bit and making sure it was current. And it is a story of a woman who gets pregnant by in vitro fertilization probably about 12, 13 years ago. And she's married at the time, and she picks a donor who looks like her husband. Well, flash forward 12, 13 years later, she is divorced. She is a single parent. She's living on the Jersey Shore, and she's raising a kid who is having some health issues. So as a result, she is forced to find the original donor. And, of course, back then there's all these, and probably currently now, there are, you know, some confidentiality issues depending on, you know, how the deal is set up. But she manages to find a sympathetic ear, and she's able to find the donor. And, of course, he is totally thrown when he's contacted years later, because back then he was a grad student trying to make some money, by this strange woman who is insisting that he fathered this child. He himself has gone through a really difficult time. He's just lost his wife and his unborn twins because of a truck driver who falls asleep behind the wheel of a car. So he's got his own issues. And rather than really, you know, go ahead and tell everybody the entire plot, the bottom line is that here you have, you know, two hurting souls, both obviously, you know, with a goal, who are thrown together unexpectedly, and they end up finding a relationship. But it's a rough way to go to get there.
Wow,
so that's
just
the story in a
nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds wonderful. It really does. So, what gave you the idea for this?
You know, it's funny. I read, you know, newspapers. I'll, you know, something will just, you know, spark, you know, an idea or thought. And I mean, it's been a while, but my memory of this, I think, is I had read an article about someone who was really struggling to find the original donor of their child, and who, this obviously, the donor did not want to be found, but it was a question of survival for this kid. She needed to know what the actual, you know, history was, you know, what the genetics were, or, you know, genetic makeup was, a number of different things. And it kind of gave me an idea. You know, I always kind of put myself in the situation and go, what if? And there the story, you know, got spurred.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand what you're saying. So tell me this. You are an indie author now.
Uh-huh.
Do you write for anybody else?
Well, I just actually signed a contract a few months ago with Brown Girl Books, so I will be back in the market again.
All right.
My editor was an editor from way back when. When I worked for, I believe it was Harlequin at the time. And she's back in the business and contacted me. And so I actually have another book coming out, which is a re-release. I believe it's scheduled for either March or April. Eden's Dream, for those of you who may have read that book, that was my very second book that I'd ever written. And I'm talking about back in the day, because I got published first in 1998. So we're sprucing that book up a little. It has a nice, you know, cover to it, new cover to it, and we're updating it, because that storyline, you know, what's almost very scary about the storyline is that things have changed so much in the industry. When I wrote that book, I wrote it, you know, from back in my travel industry days, and I'm thinking, what if a plane falls out of the sky? Not thinking, oh goodness, you know, it's today's reality, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I also noticed that you have written down that you're a former Harlequin author. Are you not writing for Harlequin anymore?
I am not currently writing for Harlequin, although that might change in the next few months. And that's all I'm saying.
Good luck. Good luck. Okay, are on the couch with Marcia King Gamble. And what I'd like to do is just break for just a moment, and we'll be right back. Tired of the same old thing? Looking for something new and different in the romance industry? Then you must be looking for Loveline's Romance Easing. This is a great place to read about the latest releases and advertise at reasonable prices. It's new, different, and exciting, and you want to be a part of it. Just go to lovelinesmagazine.weebly.com to learn more.
January 19 sees the release of The Mate of the Tiger Prince by Shannon West, book one in a new series. Diplomatic marriages between members of different planets certainly aren't unheard of, but for Prince Mikos of Tigeria and Colonel Ryan Donnelly of Earth, it might just be a fate worse than death. The union is meant to end a devastating war that has lasted for over 150 years, but the Colonel also just happens to be a sworn enemy, not to mention completely, utterly irritating. Shannon West's new series, Book 1, Mate of the Tiger Prince, out January 19th. Lexi Witcher is the author of young adult contemporary paranormal romances. Her Bittersweet 16 series begins with Dodie Jinx as your typical teenager, until she learns she is the next in line to be claimed by a 300-year-old curse on her 16th birthday. While struggling for her life, Dodie unravels a chain of events that no one is prepared for. Dodie and the warlock she loves work together to find the key that will set the Dougherty descendants free. In the Bittersweet 16 series by Lexi Witcher on Amazon.com and where all fine ebooks are sold.
All right, we are on the couch with Miss Marcia King Gamble. And Marcia, so we know that you've got a lot cooking, but there is one question I would like to ask you, besides what you're going to be doing next. This question is, how did this book, Just You, get sold three times? Can you tell the story, or is it things you'd rather not talk about?
No, I mean, I could certainly discuss it. And I'm a Marcia, by the way. Everybody calls me Marcia because it's spelled the same,
okay.
But you know, it's pronounced phonetically.
Okay.
Well, I had interest by one publisher, and we went through the process, did the revisions, and so on and so forth. And then a decision was made at that point not to publish the book within a particular time period that had been promised.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a very good agent, and she successfully, you know, negotiated me getting the book back. Then I had an interest by another publishing house, and we went through the same process. And, of course, when you're dealing with different editors, you have different editorial visions. So I made additional changes, and that particular publisher went out of business. So,
oh, gosh.
I got the – yes, exactly. That's why I kept saying, oh, my goodness, this book is doomed. And then I think there was a third publishing, you know, house that showed some interest, and then they, too, had some personnel changes and made the decision at that point that it was not right for the particular line. So that's kind of – what's happened with this book, and I got it back again.
Wow. You know, I had a friend who went through that with one of the big New York publishers. They had her do revisions three different times, and I'm not talking about, you know, change this scene or that scene. I mean, nine and 12-page revision letters three different times, and then said, well, this isn't the book we bought. And I thought, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I certainly see what you're talking about, Marcia. I do. I know that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, you write a book, you get to write a book, and you get to spend all that time alone, and you're writing the book, and everything's great, and then tomorrow you send it off, and the next day the publisher calls you and wants you to go on a book tour and everything. That's not it.
Yeah, you're
if somebody
right.
out there thinks that's it, tell them, Marcy. Just go ahead and tell them. I'm going to shut up.
No. But the good thing about this is at least I got paid several times. I got an advance several times, and I didn't have to pay it back. So there's a silver lining here.
Well, there is a silver lining, and now you're getting to release it on your own. Everything is cool. So we've got
exactly.
Just come out. Mm-hmm. Now we've got His Golden Heart that will come out.
No, His Golden Heart is already out. His Golden Heart has actually, you know, been out. For those of you, again, His Golden Heart is really a re-release of Change of Heart, which is a very popular, one of my most popular books. And this is another one that I spruced it up. This was the only African-American skier on this Olympic ski team who takes a fall and his life changes. And it was such a popular, you know, such a popular and such a well-received, because it's very, It's a very inspirational story mm-hmm. about a therapist who works with a very angry and bitter hero, you know, who inspires him really that there's something to live for, you know, after having, you know, taken this. I mean, he was like the, you know, the great black hope. And
right.
so, you know, of course, and of course he had some, you know, some personal issues too that he wanted to accomplish this.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons I got the rights back. I've gotten the rights back for about six of my books, you know, through from the traditional publisher, actually Harlequin. And, so once you get rights back, you know, you can do whatever you want with these books. And so
right.
I polished this up a little bit, made it a little bit more, you know, current, you know, because I think when I wrote it back then, I'm not even sure if, you know, cell phones were, you know, were happening. Or back
right.
then, you probably still had the brick or something. So there's
yeah.
a couple of things that, you know, we had to, yeah, had to change and spruce up a bit. And that's been very well received as well, you know, online. I put that book out earlier in, I would say earlier in 2015, probably somewhere around summer or so.
Well, that sounds like a great read also. I mean, I love it. So we know that you've got possibilities going on for the future. So mm-hmm. anything that you can tell us about, please do. Anything, whatever is coming up this year, just let us have it.
Well, let's see. I've got another release for, you know, Brown Girl Books that I'm excited about. It's a brand new release. I'm currently writing the story, you know, right now. So that's,
uh-huh.
you know, a challenge. I have a tendency to, I'll start like three or four chapters of books and I'll put them
yeah.
aside. So I always have something to go to, you know, if an editor reaches out to me and says, gee, do you think you can, you know, get us a book by, you know, in 3 months? And I, of course, I always say yes. And then I drink a lot of coffee and I keep typing.
I hear you.
Yeah, so that's one of the ones that I'm working on, you know, right now. My other new book. I have a couple of other side projects that I'm working on that I'm excited about. Some I can't really, you know, go into detail.
Right.
There is a particular, I would say, I don't want to use the word genre, but there is a particular. I'm blanking for words here. The Alzheimer's kicking in, but that I'm really kind of excited about. The ink hasn't really quite dried yet, so you know I'm going to keep my mouth shut until the ink is dried on that. But you know, I will be writing under a pen name, and it will give me a lot of leeway to write the types of books that I've always wanted to write. So. That's all I'm saying about that.
All right. Well, that sounds fabulous. Sounds like you're staying busy, Marcia, and in this business, that's very, very important.
Oh, it is. You know, it is. I've always said to, you know, people, you know, it's a tough business. You know, it's not, you started off by mentioning this to your readers before, because I think you write yourself and you know what the story is. You know, some years you're hot and other years you're not. And, you know, you have to just kind of keep up and, you know, go with it and keep your self-esteem intact and realize that, you know, it's not, you know, sometimes it's just not you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're continuing to put out the quality of work that you like, but, you know, there's certain things that sell certain years and other things that don't. And, you know, I tend to write for not just, I write nonfiction as well, too. I don't know if you're, I write actually for Michael Fiore's digital romance, and I have an article
oh.
that usually comes out once a month. And you can just get online and go, you know, digitalromance.com, but it's
oh,
relationships and giving advice, you know, online. And that's kind of a cool thing, too, that keeps me grounded because, you know, I can, you know, speak to, you know, a lot of issues. You know, I'm a single woman, again, and so I can speak to different issues that people are people are actually having out there, and you know, sharing you know the information that I have, and I approach it. Yes, some of the romance writer in me, you know, comes out, but it is a you know nonfiction. I just recently did an article about the six you know prime reasons that you know a person might disappear, and guess what? It has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with them.
Oh yeah.
So I come up with different challenges facing, you know, not just single people. I would just say anybody in a relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
And then there are people who, I guess, follow me on Sundays because I have the Spicy Sunday column on, you know, on Facebook, and that's very interesting. People will actually email me, you know, issues that are going on and ask me to keep it confidential. I'll put the question out there and let the world answer it. And sometimes it's the battle of the sexes, so it you know, you get a male perspective as well as a female perspective.
That sounds great. I don't know about you, but recently I put a post on Facebook on my personal page, and it said, and it got like 40 likes. It said, "I would rather crawl through broken glass naked than to hear anything else political." And everybody's like, yes. And, you know, I mean, and then I blocked somebody that was talking politics. I thought, I don't really know you personally, so I'm just going to block your butt and be done with it. But everybody's like, absolutely, totally understand. So Facebook is actually a great venue to get the word out and to do some things. I'm so glad you found a way to really make it work for you. You know, I have loved having you, Marcia. I'm sorry that I forgot how to pronounce your name. That's just
That's who I am.
You know, just like you said a moment ago, the Alzheimer's kind of kicked in, you know. Actually, it's not Alzheimer's, though. It's sometimers. I just have it sometimes. So anyway, thank you so, so much for being on. We always enjoy you girls from Brown Girls Publishing that comes on and does some things with us. And I wish you all the best with these things that you're doing. You just take it by storm, girl. Don't quit.
Thank you so much for having me. You are always just so encouraging, and I love just listening to your questions.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have a wonderful night.
You too as well now. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. That was Marcia King-Gamble. She's always a joy every time she comes on. I'll tell you what, you need to go over to Brown Girls Publishing. Those ladies, when they come on my show, are so absolutely well-spoken and some of the best guests I've had. I mean, I just really super enjoy them. And we're going to have news in just a moment, but Mallory Kane's not here, so I will be filling in for her, and of course, it will be better.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
And now the latest about Romancing the Smokies. And we are really excited. We are going to have with us, and I love to read off this list of wonderful authors, we're going to have with us keynote speaker Tanya Kappas, Leanne Tyler, Sandy Sullivan, Shannon West, Trista Ann Michaels, Hallie Bridgman, Susan Tisdale, Nancy Nagel, Brandy Kennedy, and J.K. Ensley are going to be our featured authors. Our silver sponsors who will also be signing are Julie Alexander, Deborah Parmley, Chris Nicole, Vicki Vaught, Carolyn Carey. Also with us will be Kate McKeever, Mallory Kane, and Andrea R. Smith. And if you haven't heard, Nancy Nagel is going to be our welcome speaker, but the MC of the evening will be Mallory Kane. We are so excited also to have our gold sponsors, Kathy Daly, Rihanna Mallory, and Victoria Sue, along with my pals at Dark Hollows Press. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Mallory Kane has to sit in the gazebo, but we've been letting her come in the house. And obviously, since she can't be here tonight, that's a problem. And we are not going to go over anything. We're not going to tell you where she's at or what she's doing. All I can tell you is that she is not here tonight, and I think it's because I've been treating her too good and that she's really taking advantage of it. But I do have news tonight. From Publishers Weekly, bookstore sales rose 2.5% in 2015, marking the first time since 2007 that sales in the sector were up. According to preliminary figures released by the U.S. Census Bureau, total bookstore sales in 2015 hit $11.17 billion with a B, up from $10.89 billion in 2014. And the Hatchett Book Group rebounds in quarter four. A 15% increase in fourth quarter sales allowed Hatchett Book Group to finish 2015 with only a slight year-over-year decline in revenue, a 0.3 percentage point. The publisher said the fourth quarter sales jump was driven by a strong publishing lineup led by See Me by Nicholas Sparks. Hatchett Book Group also reported that an increase in sales of print books nearly offset declines in the house's e-book sales. Sales of digital titles accounted for 22% of Hatchett Book Group's overall sales last year, down from 26% in 2014. From the internet, very bad news. Pat Conroy, the best-selling author of The Prince of Tides and The Great Santini, has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, his publisher said today. We at Hummingbird Place want to say how sorry we are to hear this. We're praying for you, Pat, and we wish you all the best. And here's some news I also got off the internet that shocked me as I was looking at my usual resources for news and also the resources that Mallory Kane uses when she's doing the news. I found out the following. The Cindy Myers Market News blog that we have used several times as a resource is on hiatus, as its author, Cynthia Sterling, is writing more. This blog has been around for years, at first in the form of a newsletter. So we just want to give a big shout out and say, you go, girl. Congrats, and hope you're back soon, to Cynthia Sterling, also known as Cindy Myers. Now, that is an interesting turn of events, that this young lady has worked hard, and now she's right there and not having to do much of anything. And I have Gelman on the line. Hey, Gelman.
Hey, how are you tonight? Are you all iced in like I am?
Yes, we are all iced in. This is Leanne Tyler, my producer, and many of you know that I call her Gelman. Yes, we are iced in. I did not go any further than my uncle's house, which is next door. We watched a movie.
I didn't go nowhere.
Well, we watched The Hurt Locker.
Oh.
Yeah. And that stars Jeremy Renner, and you know he is what heroes are made of. And really, really enjoyed that. Now, I will tell you that the F word was pronounced correctly in that movie many times. But it was a war movie, so what do you expect? Also, as you know, I've seen Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies recently. And I have been watching The Blacklist. So, Gelman, what have you been up to? Okay, we seem to have lost Leanne. She's not with us. I don't know what happened. But she was going to say what she was up to. So I'll tell you what she's been up to. She's been up to sleeping, and she's been up to cooking a little bit. And today her electricity went off. And, yes, we are pretty good friends, so I know pretty much what's going on with Gelman. Don't have a whole lot more going on except the fact that I'm very excited to present to you a new author who's never been on the show before. Her name is Christy Dean, and she's a member of our local Knoxville Writers Group. And Christy, welcome to Hummingbird Place. You've never been here before. I hope you enjoy us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Well, I'm excited to ask you a lot of questions about research. I know that a lot of what you do is historical books. Now, you've got a book out on the Trail of the Yorks, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a book that it actually will be released 15 March in the UK and in May here. It's a follow-up to my first book, which was The World of Richard III, where I basically take readers through different places associated with Richard III, and in this book, with his family members. I've gone to almost every single location, so I can tell them the history of the place in relation to the York family, but also the history of the place before they came and even after. So it's kind of a different take. It's each individual place, it's their history, but it's also the history of the family.
Well,
and I've really enjoyed it.
Also, the truth is that when you get into English history like that, it really did affect us here in the States as well.
Yes, yeah, a lot of the different things, the Magna Carta and just English Bill of Rights even, had an effect on our form of government.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book about in the world of Richard III? That sounds pretty interesting too.
Well, it started a long time ago. I was very interested in British history, and specifically Richard III and Anne Boleyn. I would go to places and I would just think, why are there no books to tell me the history of what happened to people here, other than just a general overview? So I started researching and thought, well, you know, I should write this book because I want to read it. I want to know these things. So even if it never makes it anywhere, I'll have it, and I'll know what's going on at each place I visit. So I did that. Amberley Publishing was interested in it, and they published it. And from there, I kept coming across new places that were associated with his brother Edward IV, Elizabeth Woodville, his sister Margaret, who goes on to be the Duchess of Burgundy, a lot of different places. And just going, it makes each place that you go to so much more interesting if you know what happened there. And I also give travel information so that people who are going know, you know, the days to visit, if it's hard to find parking, because there are some places it's really hard to find parking.
Well, if somebody came to you and said, I want to do a romance set in the time of Richard III, what would be five things you would tell them about that time period that they should incorporate?
Well, they would need to know what their thought process is on whether Richard III did away with his nephews in the Tower, because that's going to drive which way they write the book. But they would need to know the history behind the Wars of the Roses, what drove each individual to do the things they did. They would need to know the history of warfare, because there was quite a bit of warfare going on in that time period. They would need to know what people dressed like, what foods they ate, just immerse themselves in the culture. And I really think that that time period, a lot of books have been written on Richard III and on his family, but there could still be different takes. You could write a book on Margaret, his sister, the Duchess of Burgundy.
One of the things that you just said interested me. You said they would have to decide basically what they believed about the history of that time. Is that correct? Because some people do believe that he did away with his nieces and nephews and some do not. Is that what you were saying?
Well, they believe that he killed his nephews. Some people believe that he killed his nephews. Some people believe that there's some doubt, enough that is a reasonable doubt. And then some people say he absolutely did not do it. So there's a wide gamut, and it's interesting that the people, they use the same sources to back up what they're saying. There's just not a lot of contemporary evidence about that particular incident. There are tons of contemporary sources about other parts of his reign, but nobody wanted to come flat out and say whether what happened to the princes. And you can make a case and back it up for whichever of those viewpoints you wanted to take. So it that's what I think makes it the most interesting, is he was so controversial, his loyalty to his brother in his early years versus what happens when he takes the throne. It's really interesting, and I've decided a long time ago that I was never going to state my viewpoint on that, because it changes. As you read, you think, well, that makes it sound like he didn't do it, or, oh, well, that really makes it sound like he did. And I don't want to be one of the people who seem wishy-washy on it, because there's so much out there to read, and I don't want to make my decision, because it doesn't affect what I'm doing with the book. I'm basically showing the history of his life through the places he lived, and showing the history of his family through the places they lived, places they visited, what happened to them there. And one of my favorite parts is that I've seen so many different places in England because of my love of this time period. It's fascinating.
Well, I will say this about the did he do it, did he not. I remember that right after Braveheart came out, and, you know, I studied up on William Wallace and things like that, that I read a historical romance set in that time period that was English, that where they were basically putting the King of England on a pedestal, which, of course, back in those days they were, and somewhat in these days, in my opinion. And it really bothered me. I couldn't enjoy the book because I had seen the Braveheart movie. And I just said, but he was such a creep, you know. But the thing about going back into England's history is that at one time, especially, well, not at one time, for a long time, the king was more of a political figure than today.
Are you saying had more authority? Is that what?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, they did have more authority. But they also had Parliament to help constrain that somewhat. They couldn't just do anything they wanted to, although there were ways around to get what they wanted done. But they were very political and very much the leaders, and it was a very brutal time. It would have been a hard time to live, I would think. Although I've always wanted to invent a time machine and go back and see what really happened.
You know, I mean, I would just love to be able to invent a time machine and not go back, but bring Jane Austen today so that I could interview her on Hummingbird Place.
Oh, well, that would be wonderful. You know,
I would give her
a similar
her own show.
Book. Well, yeah, she would deserve it. There's a similar book on Jane Austen, I believe, where they have gone to places that Jane Austen lived and have written her history at each location. I can't think of the title for the life of me, but it's a pretty interesting book, I'm sure, because it's interesting to see the context in which they lived and what drove the, you know, history has always fascinated me. It really doesn't matter which period it is. I'm very interested in it, but this one specifically, just because of the changes in power back and forth.
Now, I have to say that I know for a fact that you are also now trying to do some creative writing.
Yes, I've done some in the past. I have a book. It's a Christian fiction, but it's not a character development driven novel. It's more of along the lines of an Andy Andrews, where it's a parable. You read the parable and there's a study guide with it. But I actually have thought about a creative endeavor. I just don't think I would focus it in the same time period that I've done so much nonfiction in. I'm thinking more of a thriller or a detective type novel.
So can I say without pause that you have decided you are going to delve into the fiction world?
I haven't 100% decided because I also have another nonfiction book that is tempting me so much to write. But it looks like I'm probably going to at least attempt it. It may take me forever, especially if I do the nonfiction book, because it takes so long to do the research and then do the writing.
Right.
But I have an idea that's tickling in the back of my mind that will not go away. So whether good or bad, it's got to get down on paper somehow.
I totally understand how you're feeling, Christy. Ladies and gentlemen, Christy Dean, her first time with us. Christy, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Christy Dean, she is writing for Amberley Publishing, and her latest book is On the Trail of the Yorks, a nonfiction historical. And we will be back right after this.
Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions, worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold.
And do not forget, we will be here on February 22nd with Marisha and Artisha Redu and Unoma Quanor. I'm wanting to say it, and I know I'm saying it wrong, so I just want to tell everybody I'm sorry if I've mispronounced your name. You guys have some names I haven't seen before. So what is going on with me? Well, tomorrow night I will be right here at 8 o'clock, and I will be interviewing the one and only Brandi Kennedy. She's as sweet as she can be, and you need to be here to listen to her because she's going to tell you all about some wonderful books and about how why she's so excited to be at Romancing the Smokies. But for now, I'm going to go and get ready for that. So I hope you've had a wonderful time. I know I have. I want to thank my guests, Christy Dean, Marcia King Gamble, and Leslie J. Sherrard. And listen, you guys out there, you have a wonderful week. If you are in our area or in any of the chilly areas, keep warm. If not, keep it cool. Love you. Be back tomorrow night.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com.